Hey guys, this is John
and Austin,
and this is another episode of the Meatgistics podcast. So we took last week off. Just way too much going on around here.
I've taken like a month off.
You've been out for a while. That's not common, but also I would say you're down to somewhere in like the 70% total of ones you've been on versus ones you haven't.
Yeah, because I seem to go through just a lot of stretches where I miss like multiple in a row over and over, and then, okay, I'm back.
Yep. But that's what's going to happen, obviously.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to need somebody like, we shouldn't be doing this today. we don't have time for this.
I went into John's office and I asked him earlier, I'm like, hey, is podcast on your radar at all today? He's like, no,
not
I totally forgot. But we're like, we have to do one because it's been a bit since we did one.
So. It has. And we've got some things to talk about. Unfortunately, most of the stories we have to talk about are, well, one of them is actually pretty bright. And then after that, they take a slightly dark turn. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to try some mortadella and some jachtwurst. Now the jachtwurst has pistachio nuts in it. I don't believe you're allergic to anything, but
nope.
I don't have an EpiPen with me. Here's a quick question that's totally meat related. Do you know how to apply an EpiPen if somebody has an allergic reaction?
Not entirely, but I'm also banking on if I need to do it for someone else that is not someone like I know. Like my son has a EpiPen. I guess it's not an EpiPen, it's another brand.
Okay.
But it comes with two. There's a trainer and there's an actual one. So you open the package, you hit the button on the trainer, and it tells you exactly what to do.
Okay.
So I don't remember how to do it.
So you're supposed to take off the cap, inject it into their thigh muscles, and then press the button for like 10 seconds. Most of the new ones are like 3 or 5 seconds, but just hold it to 10 to be safe.
Oh, interesting.
If
you remember which color is supposed to go towards the sky?
What?
Well, there's two different colored tips. There's an orange tip and a blue tip.
If you want to see how they work, the next time one of my sons, one of his expires.
One of your sons?
After it expires. Oh, you didn't take the casing off. That was close.
You're not supposed to eat that?
Barely caught the edge of that since it's clear. But I'll bring in one of his, and we can try it out. We'll inject you and see what happens. Let's
get some weights around.
We'll definitely
love that.
It'll definitely stop your heart.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it won't.
I bet it will. That's what
that's what we're testing now for sure.
If can John survive?
A lot of times people have like two EpiPens. Mm-hmm. The first one, if you take it, it can stop your heart. So you have a second one just in case
to
the first one
it.
Doesn't really do what it's supposed to do. I might be wrong, so someone can correct me. But I think I'm remembering correctly.
I thought EpiPen is epinephrine, right? So it's just like speed. I don't think it's going to stop my heart.
I don't know. Maybe I misunderstood or heard something wrong, but I thought that's why a lot of people have two. It's because the first one may not work right, and so you have a second one just in case. But okay. if you use one, you have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. My brother-in-law, so he has a severe shellfish allergies to the point where we found out if he's in the house while we cook shellfish, he reacts. Wow. So he would go hide somewhere and my wife would eventually go find him, and he had given himself his EpiPen and he's like, I'm not going to the hospital. But he would hide like a cat who's dying. He'd go somewhere.
That is hilarious.
All right. Ready?
Ready.
So what exactly are you eating?
This is mortadella from Frederick. Is it Usinger? It's good. Mm-hmm. It's got really nice consistency to it. Very good taste.
It's like a larger diameter and slightly softer hot dog.
Yeah. I'm not an enormous mortadella fan. I know a lot of people love it. Not me.
I don't know.
It's good though.
I like it. I'd rather have summer sausage for a little bit of the coarse texture and just a little flavor difference. But I mean, it's still good. That I bet my son would eat that up.
That?
Yeah.
Explain to me where these pistachio nuts are.
Is this more popular in a different country, perhaps?
I see no.
There was one on the other one. I don't see any in this one though. This is the Jachtwurst.
Jachtwurst. So you had a little bit cleaner peel than I did.
Ooh, yeah, that's bad.
No. All right.
Go for it. Immediately, I like the texture difference.
Oh, I like that a lot. All right. So, Jakobsen is pork, beef, water, salt, pistachio. Pistachio nuts, not the fifth ingredient in there. I'm going to keep cutting until I get a pistachio nut. Spices, sugar, paprika, garlic, sodium ascorbate, and sodium nitrite.
You know what I kind of view these as? Fancy Vienna sausages. I ate a can of Vienna sausages today, so I got Vienna sausages on my mind.
So is a can a serving?
No, two servings in a can. There's 120 calories in a serving, so 240 calories in a can of Vienna sausages.
That's not that bad. The number of fat calories in it, though, that's...
In the whole can, there's 20 grams of fat and 14 grams of protein.
Okay, so that's the whole can, though. Oh, okay. That's not that bad. I figured you were reading to that, or you were reading that to me earlier, and I figured that was per serving. So when you said there was two, I thought you ate double that.
No.
Where do you put your leftover Vienna sausages at?
There are never any leftover Vienna sausages.
Saying, like, could you imagine just like, you have an open can in the fridge or something?
I have found a pistachio nut. Mm,
first one.
Why can't I pull this clean? All right. Sorry to come clean at the end.
Well, do you have any like tips for them for next time so their case comes off cleaner?
That's interesting. Does it taste different with the whole nut in there?
Not at all. I couldn't taste that. Not at all. So, I mean, this is obviously a really well-made product. I'm not going to nitpick at them because a portion of the casing didn't come completely clean. At home, if you're having that problem, it's usually you didn't cool it quick enough, fast enough. You can put it back into a water bath that will often help release it. Holding it in a cooler overnight also often helps do it. This is a... What kind of casing do you think this is? Do you think this is co-extrusion?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely coming from a bigger meat plant. This didn't come from a meat plant
Miller's in meat market.
The middle of the country, right? That has in a city with 500 people in it. So it's very likely... it could be something fancy like co-extrusion, but on the other hand, I mean, it's...
So for those at home who don't know what co-extrusion is, instead of putting a casing onto your stuffing tube, basically a liquid pours out over the stuffing tube as the meat comes out. As the meat comes out, it brings along part of that liquid with it. It dries and forms a casing as it's going. You can stuff much, much quicker. The downside to it is, obviously, it is very expensive to set up.
I can't decide if it looks more like fibrous or collagen. I think it's got to be fibrous or collagen.
I was like, just chew on it. And this guy, John, throws it in his mouth, by the way, for all our listeners.
I feel like it's collagen.
It's collagen. It's the inedible
collagen.
Or, I don't know, maybe it's a thicker co-extrusion that I'm not aware of. Because co-extrusion usually is edible, but I'm sure they have it where it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Jakobsen, big fan.
Yeah. It was really good. It just looks cool because it's got like, I mean, it looks like chunks of ham in it basically.
Yep. Yep. I don't know if anyone's going to be able to see that, but if you're on YouTube, it's got some real, what?
Every time we say something about seeing something, I laugh because half the people, more than half the people actually listening to the podcast, not watching the podcast video version on YouTube.
See with your ears. It's got like darker chunk areas throughout the entire sausage. They're clearly a different protein. It's got really nice fat particle. It's not even fat particles. It's like fat areas.
Mm-hmm. There's some pretty good chunks.
Yeah. So, yeah, they did a really good job on that. I would imagine the pork got just put through the finest possible plate, or probably went through a bowl chopper and got totally emulsified, and then everything else just went through a chunker plate or something like that.
Could have gone actually through an emulsifier.
Could have gone through an emulsifier.
Did you get to see an emulsifier running when you went to Iowa State?
They had one. It was not running.
Okay. One of the projects we did while we were there, my group made some sort of hot dog like sausage, and so we got to run the emulsifier. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The meat coming out of an emulsifier looks totally different than meat coming out of a grinder for sure, but even a bowl chopper.
What does it look like? It's like pink slime?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it looks like?
Yeah. It looks like pink slime type stuff.
We've talked about it in the past, but when the whole thing with pink slime was coming out, somebody posted a picture of this pink stuff coming out of spigot, and they were like saying how it is, and it's like, say hello to pink slime. And somebody in the comments responded, that's the Tubby something machine from Teletubbies. And then they posted a picture of the Teletubbies, and it 100% is. I will never not think about that every time I hear pink slime. Yeah, every time.
That's pops hilarious. Right
up. Okay, a couple other things. We've got a few new videos on our YouTube channel that are more based around what we actually do. Instead of just like some podcasts and some live streams, we've got a Jerky 205 making kippered beef. And one of the things I kind of recently figured out is that not everybody knows what kippered beef is. Kippered beef is basically a jerky-like product, whole muscle. It is just cut significantly thicker. Requires a little bit different of a smoke schedule. You're probably not going to get it down to quite the same water activity level. But we have a dragon's breath from Excalibur kippered beef seasoning. 100% can be used to make jerky instead. Absolutely delicious, really good. Be careful when you're making this.
Oh my gosh.
That seasoning gets up in the air like you cannot believe. And then you're sneezing, coughing. Maybe that's why it's dragon's breath.
I don't know if it was that you guys had opened, but I came back here with Andrew. We were looking at
that was it.
Prototype of a new dehydrator. Yep. And yeah, I was 12 feet away, and it as soon as it was opened, I was gagging.
Can't mess around with that one.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, dead serious.
Tastes amazing, though.
It's very good.
It was awesome.
Very, very good. It's one of my favorite jerky seasonings.
I got footage of John trying to mix that, by the way, with his shirt over his nose, bent over here. It's just, yeah, like I said, it's don't stand within a football field of it.
Well, I mean, obviously you have to be within that.
I mean.
Oh my God. You can't make a joke on this podcast.
I hate to bring up COVID, but I mean, it's not like we haven't been going through COVID for the past 2 years. I'm sure about everybody out there has a mask at this point, even if you've buried it back in the deep parts of your closet like I have.
Finally, I used for my mask.
You could, yeah, stuff like that. To be honest, now that I have like a mask, if I ever had to go make Dragon's Breath jerky and I couldn't just get you to do it for me.
Right. That's it.
I'd just go put my mask on.
That's not a bad plan. While we're on jerky, our service guy, Josh, used our recipes and made some jerky at home. It is spot on. He nailed it. Did an absolutely great job.
Cool.
Really, really tasty. Then we've got...
Well, hold on. Before we keep going on, do you prefer kippered beef or jerky then?
Jerky.
Okay. I was going to say kippered beef.
You like the kippered beef more?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. I like that it's thicker and just not quite as dry. Jerky. I love jerky, but I seem to get jerky more stuck in my teeth than like...
Yeah,
something like kippered beef.
That's true.
Because it just drives me up a wall when I eat jerky. And then I'm like, dang it, I don't have a toothpick. I don't have something to get it out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. It's a pet peeve of, I think, a lot of people. But then we've got a bunch of dry marinade videos coming out. I think 4 or 5 of them are already out. Dry marinade. Buffalo wing was the last one that came out. Then the other 6 days ago, we released Casings 204, spice-lined casings. These things are awesome. Absolutely awesome. What it is, it's a textile casing. On the inside of it, there is 4 different flavors. It's either black pepper and garlic, Diablo, which is hot red pepper, or Giro, however you want to say it, Mediterranean themed spices. So as you stuff it, you put the casing on just like you would with a fibrous casing, except you don't have to do any prepping for it. You just take it out of the package and put it on the casing. Stuff it, smoke it, run it through its normal shower or ice bath cycle. It doesn't matter which one you do. They will peel, if you've done everything correctly, they will peel 99% perfectly off the sausage. Your casing will be pretty much clean. Obviously, it'll be stained a little bit, but shouldn't have any clumps of seasoning to it. It has a beautiful appearance. And does offer a nice additional taste to it. Now, the Diablo, I would say, is not that hot. So that's what our manufacturer calls it. I played around after trying it with, like, thought about maybe changing the name, but whatever. I mean, it's a red pepper. It adds a little bit of heat, but it's certainly not anything that anyone should be scared of. My favorite was the black pepper and garlic. I thought that did a really nice job. Then the black pepper, then that Diablo. And I'm just not a huge gyro guy. So
I'm not sure which is which, because in the system we have one labeled as black and the other as pepper.
Okay. Pepper but and garlic, I bet.
Pepper and garlic. Okay, yeah. So just the black one. Someone out there really likes it, because we're already, like, majorly in the hole, and we have several hundred more on order. So somebody already knows that we got them. And that's maybe going to be the most popular, just the standard black pepper.
So the black pepper is the one that we're in the hole on? Okay, yeah. We got that one 2 or 3 weeks ahead of all the others.
Oh, okay.
So that might be the reason why. But yeah, no, these should be good movers, good set. They should move, because they are easy to use. They do a really good job. And I mean, what is it? $19 for four of them? Something like that?
I think it's 20 even for a four pack.
For a four pack? Okay. So not that expensive. And then we released our top five meat hacks 9 days ago. That's just a video. We kind of try to do everything like a top five thing at the end of every year. That fell right about at the end of the year, a couple of days off. But go give that a look. That video seems to be doing really well. Anything top five, always top five, top 10, best. The whole algorithm game is just such a, I mean, you can see why people create these clickbaity headlines in newspapers and stuff.
Oh, it works.
Because people click on them.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
The catch there, though, is like, just getting a click isn't always worth it, because there's something called bounce rate. Mm-hmm. So if someone goes and that's all they visit and they're gone, really looks bad on your website. So there has to be something to get them to stay longer than just one click. Otherwise, yeah, it kind of helps, but you really need a second click once they're on there to really make your website get some
oomph.
Yeah. SEO juice out of it. I don't know.
Oh, that makes sense. Obviously we've been doing a ton of stuff working on that recently. So we should have some updates on that fairly soon. When? Like what we've been working on.
Yeah. When are we doing that?
Not till the middle of February.
Well, no. When are we, when are we telling people what we're doing?
Not now.
Not now.
Okay. Right. So this past weekend we had an event here with Pass It On Outdoor Mentors and BHA. It was a deer processing class, completely sold out. Kurt Ratzliff ran that for the most part. I actually popped away and responded to some emails while he was doing that. Came back for the second half of it though, and he's great at that stuff. But we're doing another one on the 29th, and this one will be how to make cured snack sticks out of your deer. So what we're gonna do is, in between then and now, they're going to drop off some deer meat here. I'm going to make snack sticks, and I'll do a process stream, and I'm going to do it after hours, because trying to do it during the day, there's so many people that can't. I mean, you have jobs. So I think either next Wednesday or Thursday, something like that, I'm just going to stay here late. And I'll just turn on the camera, and I've got this big monitor now where I can put the chat up on, so I can just watch chat as it comes through as I'm doing things. So that should be good. Should be fun. And then on the 29th, we're doing an in-person class for that. So one other thing, I did see Pass It On Outdoor Mentors is looking for a part-time coordinator in Kansas. So if you're in Kansas, you're looking for a part-time job, you think that might be something to do, go on over to Pass It On Outdoor Mentors website. They should have something there. I saw it on Instagram.
I have a bone to pick with Pass It On.
Okay.
Not necessarily their problem. It's really my problem.
Okay.
But I am not getting the Gun a Week emails.
Oh, do you know?
I know. Yes,
oh,
I know.
Okay. Oh, God. I wanted to break that news live.
But I had no idea.
I'm not getting them either.
I had no idea what happened until my brother comes running through. I'm in the retail store. All our retail people are out sick right now. So been spending time up there. And Dylan comes up and he's like, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. I'm better than John. I'm better than everybody. And I'm like, what the heck? And he's like, did you get your Gun a Week email? And I'm like, I look and I'm like, nope. I haven't been getting them for a while.
I have to go look every once in a while.
I got to go check my spam folder.
It's not in my spam folder, at least.
Well, which one did you check? Like the junk email or did you go out?
No, I just checked the junk email. Yeah,
there's two different places.
Oh, it's Beyond?
Stopping
it before
then. There's two different places. We okay. block them out. It's probably at the other one. But yeah, Dylan, did he tell you what he won then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is same it gun I have.
Same gun?
Well, actually, I haven't looked at it or passed it on, but I bet you it is the same gun. It's a Savage Arms Axis 6.5 Creedmoor.
Bolt action?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet. You guys can be twins and go dancing through the forest together while you hunt deer.
Go dancing through the forest. What do you think deer hunting is?
La, 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 la. Oh, I'm just having fun.
Yes. Okay. Pass it on. Outdoor Mentors. Gun a Week.
I think we should take a poll of every Walton's employee, past and present, that has...
What the what? That is not... No. That's not it.
No, that's something else.
This week's winner is 2021. Okay. I must have...
He probably hasn't posted online yet or
they
something.
They had a awesome Stag 15 5.56. Gorgeous rifle. Sorry, go ahead.
So I need to take a poll of all current and past Walton's employees that have... entered into Gun a Week, gone to banquets for like Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, DU, NWTF, all those places. And everyone that we've brought with us to one of those banquets, because when we go to stuff like that, we usually buy a table. Mm-hmm. And so we bring a lot of times employees, but also other people at times. There's some of the banquets that we buy two tables to. And so then we bring a ton of people. But I was thinking like how many guns have people around here won in total?
So I've won two. You've won four? One,
two, three, four, five. I think I've won five.
That's so ridiculous. That's so...
I know Andy's won a bunch.
Your dad's won
some. My brother
and
dad have won several. Other people that have gone with us have too.
Colton's won some.
I'm thinking it's several dozen, if not multiple dozen. It's crazy.
That is insane.
On the other hand, you look at it and the amount of money that all of us combined have donated.
Oh my God.
It's not like we haven't paid for the guns.
With more. So I won two in a row and I'm still in the hole, I'm sure. Thank God my wife doesn't listen to this. All right. So yeah, pass it on. They're still doing, you can still buy tickets for it. They're $50 a ticket. 100 gets you three. It's a really good way to make Wednesdays like a little bit more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have one thing to look forward to. And who knows, it might be you. And somebody is going to win two guns every year because they put all the winners in a pile and they pick a gun from that. And then they put all the losers in a pile. So they draw 54 guns at least. Yeah. So cool, cool. All right. You want to go on to Meat Matters?
Sure.
Dun, dun, dun.
This now, is where it gets dark.
The first story is not necessarily dark. The Biden administration is earmarking $1 billion out of
Can you say it like Austin Powers, like or Dr. Evil or whatever his name
is? I don't
is.
Think so. Oh, can you do it?
$1 billion.
No,
I don't know.
So you can't do it,
can't
either.
Do it either.
$1 billion.
So none of us can do it, obviously. So $1 billion out of the $1.9 trillion Save America or whatever it is bill, specifically for meat processors, but not just for meat processors, specifically for small and medium-sized meat processors. Now, that's broken down a little bit. It's not just $1 billion to anyone who wants it. It's $375 million in grants for independent processing plants. It's $375 million in loan support, $100 million to fund worker safety and training programs, $50 million in research and development, and $100 million in subsidies to help small processing plants cover inspection costs. So a couple things there. One, that very last bit is the inspection cost. That's something that a lot of people don't think of. There's two types of processing plants. There's custom and there's inspected. Custom are doing your deer, or doing you bring me your cattle and I cut it for you. And then inspected, which is send me deer, I'll cut it, and then I will sell it. There's big differences between those two types of plants. And a lot of the people who stay in the custom do it because either A, they don't want to make that jump up because it is expensive and it's a whole nother ball game. So that could help that. Their stated reason for doing this was to try to break up the stranglehold the big four have on the beef industry right now. They control 85% of all the beef in the country. And I'm sure you guys have seen the articles because they've been coming out nonstop about how ranchers are making way less money than they used to. When they sell their cattle, they're getting lower prices. Prices at the store are continuing to go up. Now, supposedly they just dropped for the first time between November and December. They dropped 0.4% on beef. Chicken, lamb, and something else. I don't think pork. Chicken, lamb, something else still went up though. But the more small independent processors that we have out there, which is our target customer, the better decentralization. When I think positively about the future of pretty much everything, the thing I always come back to is like decentralized power. Like spread all this out. Let's not have one group of people telling everybody else what to do. Let's all work together, go out there and do things ourselves, except for my employees. I demand complete and total iron fist control over their day-to-day things. No, I don't. So
it'll be interesting to see what happens because some of this, it sounds good. It's exciting. It's like, okay, we're going to help out the meat industry and great. That's what we work in. But at the same time, I feel like this is just going to fuel more of the supply chain problems that we've seen. In
why?
Because it's
okay. I'm sorry. I get you. You mean specifically for commercial equipment?
Yeah.
So.
So
yeah, for sure it will do that.
Because that's what they want you to spend money on is new equipment, things to make capacity higher or more efficient. And the equipment market is already just slammed.
Yeah.
And it's better than it was, but it's still not where it should be. And this is just going to make it worse again.
Now, I will say this. Yeah. I was back there about a month ago walking around and I saw way more commercial equipment in those big shipping crate things than I did a year ago. So, I mean, it's recovered at least a little bit to the point where we have some stock.
Some of it is like the grinders and stuff that we import from Australia. Mm-hmm. We're actually getting those now because we had a container there that nobody would pick up for like 6 months. No.
What was the amount they wanted everyone or us to pay over standard for someone to take it?
I don't remember.
It was ridiculous.
It was like double the price.
But insane.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I like the idea of helping out the small to mid-sized guy, politics aside on how all of this works and comes about. Mm-hmm. Once it's here, I like it. It's going to help a lot of those small to mid-sized processors out. But at the same time, it still concerns me as to what the side effects are going to be.
Sure.
Because I'm still worried about the whole supply chain thing. So
understand. Now, my worry of it's more like that's my money. That's my tax money. That's my future money. That's not like you're not just giving money, you're taking it.
Yeah. But that's why I say like the politics side of it aside, like the path to getting there, mm-hmm. you can have a lot of pros and cons and things you like and things you don't like, but we're here.
If there's something though that I'd be happy with my money going to, it is feeding everybody. So
yeah,
that's one thing. Real quick, I just wanted to read this. These are quotes from just went dark on me. These are quotes from an article in The Counter. It said, in 1977, the four biggest beef packers controlled just 25% of the market, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Within 15 years, that number had jumped to 71%, a nearly threefold increase. Today, that number hovers about 85%. And then the article goes on for a while, and then they start talking about how they're going to create... Well, I'll just read it. They're going to essentially establish a hotline so cattle producers could continue complaining about potentially anti-competitive practices to a regulatory agency that hasn't done anything about all the previous complaints that have been filed. I can just see whoever that rancher was giving that quote to him. And just, I have a very clear picture of what that person looks like in my mind. But
yeah,
I don't know what else. What else you do there?
I don't know. I think so much of what's going on right now is a wait and see. Some of these things that are happening, they could turn out really good. They might turn out really bad. But at this point, it's just, let's see what happens. We're along for the ride, so let's take it and try to have fun.
So continuing down the dark road, billionaire supermarket CEO warns of potential meat egg shortage as Omicron disrupts U.S. supply chain. So we all know the price of beef is up, but what this guy was saying is they're having such difficulty keeping up with demand that he has his employees at his plants working extra hours, extra days, basically. They can have all of the hours they want, and he still can't keep up with it. We're testing at such a increased rate. People are out. We're seeing it here. Everybody's seeing it everywhere. It would just be a shame and not all that surprising, I guess, if we kind of made it through the real, not serious parts, because whatever, but we've got to be near the end of it. If here is where the food supply chain failed, like right at the end, it just went, nope, can't do this anymore.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think the food supply chain is going to fail.
Neither do I. But I mean, it would just be like,
it may struggle.
Ironic. But
there's a difference between failing and struggling. And I don't think it would fail. There's, I mean, there's always the chance, but I don't know. With his, we're, I mean, just around our office here, we're seeing more people.
Yeah, for sure.
Out with COVID. We're testing a lot more people for exposure and different things as well. And, I don't know. I could see where if COVID really is going to continue on an uptick, that causes something to actually fail rather than just struggle. Because if so many people can't work.
Yeah. I mean, that is what I was saying.
Yeah.
So did you see the picture I sent you about the two huge planes flying right next to each other out here? Grab my tinfoil hat after this and we'll talk.
I saw that happens all the time.
That close.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see your picture, so I'll have to see that. But like on my way to work every morning near the Air Force base over here.
No, I'll show you what I'm talking about. They were,
because they're low and big planes, but if you're talking,
these were up higher, they were huge, and it looked like their wings were almost overlapping. It had to be some sort of refueling thing. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
They're probably practicing that exactly thing. That's what they do.
Yeah. So. Or chemtrails.
Yeah. That's the more exciting.
That's obviously the more reasonable one. All right.
So hold on. So thinking of supply chain, food supply chain failing.
Sure.
What would you do? Well, okay, rephrase it this way. If one part of the meat and food supply chain was to fail, you had to go without. What are you going to go without? And what can you not go without?
Oh, I could easily go without. Oh, geez. I was just about to say I could easily go without pork, but then I really wouldn't have anything to make snack sticks or anything out of. It would still be pork. Because I can't go without beef. I have reduced my steak eating.
Seriously?
For the first time ever. I was at the restaurant, or not the restaurant, I was at the grocery store with my wife. And I went to pick up a 2-pack of ribeyes. And it was $49. I was like,
what?
That's how much
I can't do that. I was so upset. So I have, in the past 7 days... I've had steak once.
Wow.
How will you ever?
Now that's coming right on the heels of having it 4 days in a row. So whatever. But you know, it is, it's a serious downtick in steak. It was the first time literally in my entire life that I've looked at the price of steak and said, I can't justify paying that. And I've worked jobs
where they like 2-pound steaks.
They were big. They were big. They were good looking. They had nice caps on them, but I mean, $49 for 2 ribeyes. That's not happening. And I'm sure I could have gone and gotten some prime, like, you know, or not choice, little cheaper steaks, but.
Wait, were you getting prime?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're just a lot more picky than I am.
Could you go real quickly for, because I don't know that, like, obviously one tastes better and is better, but you said prime and choice. Is there other classifications along that?
Prime is there something above prime?
Hold on, before I say something stupid and wrong, I'm pulling up the actual USDA. I don't think there's anything above scale.
Prime sounds pretty elite.
Yeah. Then there's premium and then choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Prime, premium, I believe. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, that sounds about right. You know what's funny? I was
all I can see in my head is website stuff as I'm thinking.
I'd go to the grocery store and see USDA choice. I'm like, well, that's the top tier.
Definitely not.
It's got got a sticker, John.
Yes, they all get stickers.
Gosh.
You are wrong.
Oh. Is there something above prime?
We're all learning.
No. Okay. There's something below choice. I was thinking select. Oh, but I don't want to say it, but yeah, select. Don't buy a select steak. Don't do it.
Unless you're going to do something like cut it up for stew meat.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. Then it's fine.
Yeah. I'll do that every now and then. Take a steak that just I look at and I'm like, no, this isn't good.
You're not going to eat it as a steak, but you're getting eaten.
Yeah, I'm still going to eat it, but I'll cut it up and make fajitas that night or something out of it. But.
Yep. I once made ribeye fajitas. Mm. They were really good.
Yeah.
They were, but it's a little too bougie. Did we cover everything we wanted to cover there? Because I have two more stories I want to talk about, and they're at least fun/funny.
Wait, so what are you giving up and what are you not giving up then?
Oh, good call. Yeah, I'm giving up pork.
What are you not giving up?
Beef.
Okay.
Although I am apparently giving up beef. What do you mean by giving up? Like it's off the table. I can't have it anymore.
Yeah, like something happens. The food industry is like, we don't have enough capacity to make beef, pork, chicken, whatever out there. We can only, all we can make.
Do I need to worry about the larger implications of what that means? Because
no, we're very self-centered here. This is all about pleasing ourselves.
Then yeah, I'm giving up pork and I'm keeping beef.
Okay.
You?
As long as chicken's available, I'm giving up chicken just because I can't go without bacon or sausage. And on the beef side, I mean, you can't go without a steak forever. So
difficult.
I'd give up anything but beef or pork. Okay. If I had to choose between those two, since those are really like the only red meats, I would keep beef and get rid of pork.
Yeah.
So if you need something lean, you're just going to go with like turkey or something?
There's very lean cuts of beef.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's still, still even lean beef though is... It's still going to be a lot different.
It's not going to be like a pork loin, but it's just
still so dense and calorie dense, physically dense, but
not is probably not as desirable, I assume, too. So.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep. All right. So two funny stories to end it because all of that made me a little sad. unfortunate typo on sausage packet has supermarket customers swearing off meat. So it is a Angus beef sausage, but without the G.
Oh.
So play that over in your head. Angus beef sausage without the first G. It's not the second G that they in sausage, because that'd be fine if they missed that. But they missed the first
Angus
one.
Angus without a G.
Angus without a G. Uh-huh. Doesn't sound like the type of sausage I'd like to eat.
The G is silent.
That's
the name of the podcast.
It's so silent. It's so silent. It's been removed.
Yeah.
We just took it right out. That made me laugh.
Did it say where that was or?
I believe Australia. It was somewhere over in, yeah.
Oh.
And then this one, I actually want to have a little bit of a discussion on because a woman slammed for forcing, and forcing should be in huge quotation marks there, vegetarian boyfriend to eat meat with Christmas dinner. So what happened is they'd been dating for a while. It was his first time meeting her entire family. Came over for Christmas dinner. She had not told her mother or anyone that he was vegetarian, so there was no vegetarian options. Brought out, she realized it and said, you know, please don't make a scene. Just have some compliment her on it and, you know, just eat a small amount. And the internet apparently went insane. Mostly on her side. Mostly against her. I'm 100% on her side. The number of times I've eaten something that I didn't want to eat to be polite it's above 50.
It's a very good point.
This is a tough one.
Why?
Well, because it's not like, food might be icky to you, but if vegan, you know, if it's a big deal to them, their veganism, they might take more offense to it, I guess. I mean, I'm 100% down the middle on this one because in the age of the internet, I'm not going to tell you which side I'm
on. So
really
first, not vegan, vegetarian. There is a difference.
Okay. First, that's what, okay. So then, wait, so vegan means
no
lifestyle, right?
No, vegan is no animal protein and no animal byproduct. So no eggs, no honey, because bees made the honey.
So vegan's the top tier one then.
Vegan's the
And then vegetarian ultra. Is just
I don't eat meat.
Okay. And this guy is the second tier.
This guy is second tier.
Okay. Well, then you can maybe just ignore what I just said. But I would assume it would be the first one because why, if it's that big of a deal to bring it up in the first place.
Right.
But
the way I see it is that means your dietary choice too is more important than your partner's happiness and your impression on their family.
And he didn't set that boundary early enough. So it sounds like they got more serious problems, I guess.
It also feels like she probably should have phoned ahead and said, hey, to let you know.
Totally.
But once you're there and you're in the situation.
And I feel like if this is that big of a deal to him, this isn't your first time eating out somewhere where you know they're not going to have options like that.
It's so a great point.
So people in that situation, they usually eat first or don't eat at all. Don't make a big deal of it and eat later.
100%. My wife will bring, if she's like cutting or being real strict with her calories, she will 100% bring her food with her. And she'll tell the people ahead, she's like, don't cook anything for me. Don't worry about it. This is, you know, I'm doing this because of a dietary. We even went to Napoli over here, which is really good, by the way. It's a local restaurant for anyone who's in the Wichita area. It's over right by our work. Really good Italian food. But she even brought Tupperware with her food in there once when we went to dinner with our friend. They were cool about it. They're like, yeah, whatever. No problem.
I don't do this a lot of times, but pulling out a Bible quote, because at least for me, when there's something that is like specifically laid out in the Bible, I mean, that makes it easy for me to decide how I'm going to fall on one side or another. But from Romans 14, it says, one person believes he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him.
Sure.
So it's one of those things where it's like, if you eat it, fine. If you don't want to eat it, fine. There is not a right or wrong. You can go whichever way. You're not, if you're Christian, you're not sinning by eating meat. You're not sinning by not eating meat. So just be accepting of it. Be accepting of each other and what your preferences are. And then in this scenario, I don't know if the girl, I feel like the girlfriend should have said something like, hey, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell anybody that you're vegetarian. So if you want to eat, here's what we have. If you don't,
then it's fine.
That's no okay. Hard feelings, yeah. But not phrase it in more of a way that's like, hey, you need to eat this. I need you to eat this because it's gonna make people upset. Like doing it that way, that I think is where it's wrong. And so I don't think she should have done it.
That's probably a really good point. So I was looking at it more from like, he should have sucked it up and eaten it to, but she is also saying that not like starting that confrontation with her mom is more important to her than her relationship to him.
You're gonna alienate someone's feelings.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's a really good point.
She could still ask it, but ask it in a way that's truly an ask and not being forceful at all. Just saying, hey, do you want to try this? Since this is all we have.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't force them.
I was really hoping you were going to come up with a way more harsh Bible quote because I had Leviticus pulled up. I was going to nail you with it. But since yours was so peace loving and hippy dippy, I didn't know I was working for a hippie.
That's great.
God.
Very sad.
Do you have hippies down here? You don't really.
Not
you know
really.
What you're getting down?
The closest we have to a hippie is named Kurt Carter.
Oh, gosh.
So speaking of that, on the 25th and 26th, in this studio, your father and Kurt Carter are going to be sat down. We're going to hit record and then everyone's leaving. They're just going to get to tell all the war stories that they have.
Well, should we have someone here to monitor and make sure it's actually like...
I could pop in.
We can running because we don't want to lose.
That's fair point. So we can monitor it and check from time to time. But I don't want anyone interrupting them. I don't want anything. And I don't want Patrick sitting back there for 2 hours doing nothing.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt them at all. Good. So
can you see?
We could set up that we're discussing desktop. This on
the we're setting on the desktop. That. He can watch the waveform. Make
we
sure
can do
it's
it. Yep. Okay. And then we are either we'll see how it goes. We're either going to release it as one super episode, which I don't think we're going to do. I think we're going to break it up and put it in as segments into our podcast.
Are we having them start at 8 a.m?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. Why would we?
They'll probably talk as long as they have.
We can make this an animated series, really. We'll just get a cartoonist and they talk over, we'll just animate it.
Yeah, they're gonna bring their own refreshments, own beverages. So I assume towards the end, it's gonna get a little bit more bombastic.
Perfect.
But that should be a great time. I cannot wait for that.
I hope everyone else is going to look forward to this as much as I am, because I am just beyond excited. There is no word to describe how awesome this is going to be.
We have requested this for quite some time now.
Yeah.
Them to sit down, finally getting the time to do it. So you guys will get the benefits, but should be really fun. All right, we have anything else?
Nope, that's all I got.
I got nothing else. We nailed just about an hour dead on there.
Yeah. We're about five, 7 minutes short. Right. We started a few minutes late.
Do you want to play 7 minutes of me just thinking?
When I don't have anything to do with my son, we sing songs.
Nobody wants to hear it. Okay, we got to go.
Baby Thanks, guys.
Shark, dude.
And that's how we get sued, right? Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Waltons, everything but the meat.